for 70 years. And so now the Lord is saying you're living in your sealed houses, and you're focusing on your personal lives, and you're leaving this alone. You've let this lay idle. And so they set to work in rebuilding of the temple. Okay. There was a call. Let me see how soon we find it here. Second year, blah, 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 Zerubbabel, King Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Next. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Okay, he uses terminology several times. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. And there is a call to repentance. Now, John the Baptist shows up on the scene in the New Testament, and he says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of God is at hand. Either way, he says, repent ye. Okay. Of course, Peter's words at the day of Pentecost were, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. So oftentimes when we see this word repentance, we think it's fall in your face, ask God to forgive you for your sinful, terrible ways. One of the greatest sins of Israel was going their own way. And the call to repentance was turn back. Turn back to my way. And so this is a call to repentance. Now, I don't want to take the time to read this particular portion right now, but if you remember, it was a call to repentance. There was a response to the call, and then there were promises giving, and there was an immediate action from God. The people repent, God starts moving. Now, let's go to Zechariah, the first chapter. First verse. Okay, now watch this. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. No, when did the word of the Lord come to Haggai? In the sixth month. This is 2 months later. Came the word of the Lord to Zechariah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore, say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. This is a repeated pattern. This is 2 months after what we just read prior. There was a call to repentance and a call to turn back to God as first priority. Okay? And so here we are 2 months later through the mouth of another prophet, and the Lord is saying, turn ye unto me. Turn ye unto me. That is repentance. Turning to God is repentance. Going my own way is a need of repentance. When people ask me at times, if you set up a Kool-Aid stand on the sidewalk tomorrow, and, it was 100 degrees out, and you could buy Kool-Aid for 2 cents a cup, and you sold it for 50 cents a cup. And it only makes sense. You need funds for college. So you ask me, I've run all the numbers. Do you think it'd be a good idea if I set up a Kool-Aid stand tomorrow out on Meridian? Here's what my answer would be. If you get a release from God to do that, man, I'd go ahead and do it. Freedom from the Lord in the steps of my life causes me to walk in agreement with Him. Okay? And so, in my pursuit of Him, He orders my ways. He leads my way, guides me when He either says, whoa. Not, well, you know, the cups fell out of the back of the truck. You know, Kool-Aid, price of Kool-Aid skyrocketed. Or, you know, these are the characteristics of the details that are beside the point of having a liberty in the Lord to lead me. Okay? God may give me absolute liberty to set up a Kool-Aid stand tonight and not give it to you tomorrow. Not because He doesn't like you. It's because He wants to lead your life. Okay? And vice versa. You may have liberty to whatever. Okay? Pursue a particular direction. And what you're looking for is this in agreement with God's purpose for me in my life. I get the idea, and that's pretty close proximity to I get the inspiration. But if you get inspiration, it's got spirit origin, okay? And the Lord will lead and direct. And sometimes when we get a good idea or a idea, sometimes it's the Lord. And He doesn't play games with us, okay? Let's pray. We wait upon You, Father. We thirst after You. Jesus, Jesus, lead us and guide us, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What was going on in the garden when the man Christ Jesus was speaking out and saying, if it be possible, can we do this another way? Let this cup pass from me.
Same thing.
If it were possible, can we work this out some other way? And then coming to the place personally where the next communication is, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That is true repentance. The letting go of my own personal pursuit and giving up to God's purpose and direction for me. Do you see anything in there, you know, weeping and crying with tears and begging God to forgive you for some bad deed? Okay. Too often times we view this word of repentance. Well, you just need to repent. Well, sometimes that is the case. But my point is the Lord was constantly renewing this communication to His people because their greatest challenge was letting go of His way in pursuit of their own things. And so He was calling them back to turn ye unto Me. Turn ye unto Me and I'll turn unto you. Draw nigh to Me and I will draw nigh to you. And then we always see a rather quick movement on the part of God to bring promises, to bring blessing, to bring healings in so many different ways. I was talking with a gentleman who was communicating to me feelings, thoughts, maybe dreams, vision that he felt like he was getting from the Lord to do certain things. And he said the last thing he said was, and I guess the only thing that's holding it back is I just need to go ahead and do it. I said, well, let's wait. Let's talk about that for a minute. I said, you have oversight. And the Lord will use that oversight to your benefit. I said, years ago as my ministry was in developing, I would get an inspiration and it would be so strong, I would go to my oversight and say, hey, I got something. I think I got something.
There you go.
And shortly after I'd speak it out, it's like, oh, wow, I wish I would not have done that. The inspiration was strong. It felt like it was genuine. I don't know altogether what the purpose of it was. But after I'd spoke it out in a group setting, I realized, I wish I would not have done that. Well, it doesn't take too many times doing that, that I come to the place of, you know what, I'll just wait. If you want me to do something with this, you'll speak to oversight in this particular meeting. And they'll call on me. And then I'll know. Now, the Lord showed Joseph his plan for him. I know we keep going back to this. I can't help this. He showed him in detail, your father and mother will bow down before you. Your brothers will make obeisance to you. And the minute that it comes out of his mouth, everything goes sideways. Now, Joseph could not, and nor did he ever do anything to produce those things in his own life. And it was the will of God. It was his destiny. It was God's purpose in him. Yet he could not, and then he would not do one thing to produce that. The only thing we ever read in Scripture, sideways of just living out the circumstances of all the things that befell him, was when he asked the butler when he was restored to the, you know, to his, was it the butler or the baker? Baker got hung, butler got restored. You know, when he asked him that when you're restored to position, remember me. And then the man did not remember him. It was God's will that he not remember him and bring his name up. Because even though God had an intended plan, which he had already revealed to Joseph, now wasn't the time. The last thing we want to do is get in God's way in producing the things that he has promised for our lives. Again, repentance is letting go of the reins and coming back into a place of submission to him. Not my way, thy way. Now, maybe you're proud about being a strong-willed person. You know, we are you saying yes? Oh. You know, sometimes we speak of a child, oh, a strong-willed child, you know. And then as we become adults, you know, it's survival. It's, you know, I've got a strong will and I need it to survive and to get ahead and to do things. Yet it's the very thing that can keep God at bay. Now let's go back to this for a minute. If you go back and read these accounts, you'll see in each situation, the Lord said, turn ye unto me, I'll turn unto you, and then I'll start doing this, 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 and this. And when the people turned unto God, repented, the Lord came in on their situation. Therefore, my resistance to repenting, my holding out for my will rather than saying, not my will, but thine be done, is the very thing that keeps God at bay. So I say to the young man, okay, so the Lord has shown you he wants to do this, wants to use you in this way, possibly. And so the very act that you're talking about because you feel like you just need to do it is probably the very thing that's keeping him from being able to do it. Right. Not my will. Thine be done. Not my will, thine be done. Not my way, your way. From what I see in Scripture, that should be one of our most consistent prayers. Sometimes my pursuit and my direction and my attitude has got to be steered by speaking things out first. Are you done with that? We all done with that? Have I said it enough? Enough ways? We get the point. Brother Johnson?
Psalm chapter 105, Brother Kendrick. Forgive me for sticking to this Joseph theme, but I read this morning in my daily reading, and I just couldn't get rid of it. You know, the past few months I've dealt with some things personally, in my own spirit, my own mind, just wrestling with things. And if you've ever been in a place where you wonder if God's done with you somewhere or if it's time for you to move on, is he finished with me in this season of my life? Am I trying to make something last longer than it's supposed to last, and you're waiting direction, and yet you seem to have all this inner turmoil and all this, not disaster, but just a lot of personal question, and the question leads to doubts, and you're just trying to find out, God, where am I supposed to be? And I'm not talking about life church. I'm just talking about job and family and all these things. And I begin to ask the Lord these questions. Lord, have I worn out my welcome in these situations? Am I overdoing it? Am I overstaying? Did you intend to lead me on a long time ago? What is my purpose here? Is this where I belong? What are you trying to do in me? Because I feel like I'm being pulled apart at the seams. And I don't believe this is the way it's supposed to be. I don't believe this is your intention. And I feel all this inner turmoil in me regarding these particular situations that I'm dealing with. My family recognizes it. My home recognizes it. And so I need help. What is going on here? And I think all of us identify with that at some point. You find yourself in that position of, am I where I belong? And as I begin to experience some things, I came back to my wife later. I communicated to my wife one night. I said, we were laying in bed, and I told her, I said, I don't know what the Lord has in store for me. I'd come out of a season of a couple of days of just waiting on Him, and I said, you know, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be at my current place of employment anymore. I don't know. I'm confused. And it was the next day that I went into a meeting and some things were communicated to me, and I immediately in that communication began to feel the peace of God. And I came home out of that meeting. I told my wife, I said, I got my answer today. The Lord is at work in me. And He is trying to accomplish something in me. And I'm seeing all this difficulty and all these things that I'm up against and these seeming walls that I continue to bump into, and I can't seem to get anything to move and to work like I think it's supposed to. Is Him at work in me? And I can either yield to this process at this season of my life and allow Him to do in me what He wants to do, or I can run from this and go find somewhere else to land for a little while. And then this morning I was reading this, and we've been talking about Joseph for a while, and I didn't intentionally go seeking this out. I didn't even know Bishop was going to be here tonight. I walked in and about fell over. I thought he was still in Yakima. So this isn't pre-planned. But in Psalm 105, in verse 17, he's talking about, we could read all the first 16 verses, and I had originally intended to do that tonight, but I'll spare you from that. Go home and read them, Psalm 105 and 106. This is the psalmist here actually going back, and he's writing a psalm, I think in verse 1. You don't have to go there, Brother Kendrick, but he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." And, excuse me. And then he says that, and then he starts going into talking about the beginning of the people of God, the children of Israel. He starts talking about their origin. He goes, he says through verse 2 on down, he goes verse by verse, and when you read it later at home, you'll read this, but he says, He made a covenant with them when there was only two of them. He made a covenant when it was just Abraham and it was his Sarah. And he said, then He made a covenant with Isaac. He passed along to him, and then it was to Jacob. And then you get to verse 17, and he said, all right, let's go back to verse 16, rather. It says, "Moreover, He called," and I'm in the KJV right now, but I'll go to the NLT here in a second. It says, "Moreover, He called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that His word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him." Even the rule of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house. I'm sorry. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, to teach his senators wisdom. To the the New Living Translation, and I'm going to use what's on the screen because it's different than what I have. New Living Translation, Psalm 105 and verse 16. Thank you, Brother Kendrick. He called for a famine on the land of Canaan, cutting off its food supply. Then, everybody say then, He sent someone to Egypt ahead of them. You mean, and I know we talk about this a lot, the idea of Joseph being in the plan and purpose of God, but that whole plan and purpose of God wasn't about necessarily fulfilling Joseph's dream. But it was to save his family and an entire nation from a drought and a famine that the Lord Himself was sending. But He not just only sent the famine, but He sent someone ahead of the famine through a process to deliver His people from the famine. Now, what a ridiculous, stinking process, if you want my personal opinion tonight. God's got to have a better way, Brother Kendrick, of getting people to the end result of what He needs to do in them. was sold as a slave. That's how God sent ahead his messenger. That's how God sent ahead his Savior. He sent him as a slave. There in prison, they bruised his feet with fetters. That sounds like something I want to sign up for. And placed his neck in an iron collar. Where do I sign up? Verse 19 says, until the time came. Everybody say until. Until the time came to fulfill his word. What was his word? His word were the dreams that he gave to Joseph that already been mentioned tonight. The sheaves bowing down, the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down and worshiping him. Until the time came, until God said, okay, today's the day that this is going to be fulfilled. We know and understand tonight that his word never returns void. His word does not fail. When he speaks it, when he gives it, when he delivers it, it's an absolute. It will come to pass. Until the time came to fulfill his word, the Lord tested. Everybody say tested. Joseph's character. This is the hard part for us. Because we all believe that we're people of such upstanding character with no flaws whatsoever. We flow and speak and just smooth, wise as serpents, peaceful as doves. Goo, goo. And God says, yep, that's what you think, but let's get some iron collars around your neck. Let's get some fetters on your feet. Because I need to test your character. Now, I don't know what the Lord sees in me, but I find a peace. And you may think this is twisted, but I find a peace today in realizing that just because I'm going through something doesn't mean God has abandoned me. Just because he allowed me to endure some tribulation doesn't mean that he doesn't care about me. It doesn't mean that his plan has derailed in my life. It doesn't even mean that he changed his mind. If I'm on the path and he gave me a small glimpse of what the end result is, maybe he showed me, Joseph, a dream of what the end is, and then the next day I'm in slavery and I'm trying to figure out how in the world do I go from slavery to my brothers and sisters bowing down to me when they were the ones who sold me into slavery. How does all this fit together? But he sees me and he knows what's in me. He knows what he's got to get out of me. He sees every character flaw in me, and it's part of his preparation for the end result. Verse 20 says, then Pharaoh sent for him and set him free. We know this wasn't verse by verse. There was a lot that happened in here. But this is the psalmist's recollection of it. This is a psalmist writing to the people in a psalm of thanksgiving. If you want to sing it, thank God for Brother Joseph. Lord tested his character. Nobody wants to worship that song on Sunday. We'd rather sing Shout with a Voice of Triumph, not Test My Character, Lord. It's not a super popular song. Ain't nobody writing that and singing it on 105.3. About the closest we get is, Lord, prepare me. That's as close as we'll get. Nobody wants to ask for a test. Most people hate tests. Then Pharaoh sent for him and set him free. The ruler of the nation opened his prison door. Verse 21 says, Joseph was put in charge of all the king's household. See, the Lord knew what was coming. Man, I'm telling you. He was put in charge of all the king's household. He became ruler over all the king's possessions. He went from the jailhouse to being in charge of all the king's possessions, all the king's finances, all the king's men, all the king's horses, all the king's estate was in Joseph's command. And just days, hours, weeks earlier, he had a collar around his neck and fetters around his feet. Don't look at yourself today in your current situation and say, God, where in the world are you at and what in the world are you trying to do in this? I know that the humanity in us causes us to ask those questions, but you don't know tomorrow. You may be in a position of being ruler over all the king's possessions. Verse 22 says, he could instruct the king's aides as he pleased. He could teach. He had the ability to teach the king's advisors. Wait a minute. Can you imagine? Just think about this for a second. The king's aide's there. You know, it takes a while to work yourself up through the ranks to get to the king's aide. And all of a sudden, there's the jailhouse blues boy. Just got rid of his prison blues. He's instructing them. Son, you still got the ring on your neck from the steel collar. Who do you think you are talking to me? You still smell like the garbage pit you crawled out of. And you want to teach me? Do you know who I am? I'm the king's advisor. But when God gets done molding and shaping an individual, he doesn't wait. Hear me tonight. He doesn't wait for eternity to put you in the place that he has intended for you. As soon as he's done with the character molding and the character shaping and testing and you've passed the test, he says, all right, you're ready. Let's go. Why do you think someone's situation can turn upside down overnight? Someone can go from a situation of, oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh God, where are you at? To, Lord have mercy, what just happened? Because that's how God works. When he deems it's time, and he believes that you've passed the test, he's ready. He didn't say, okay, go line up on the wall and we'll pick teams here in a minute. No, that's not how it works. Verse 23. Then Israel arrived in Egypt. Jacob lived as a foreigner in the land of Ham. I think that's it. That's it, those scriptures. Like I said, go home and read 105, 106. Great, great scriptures. Great portion of scripture. But I have a peace tonight. And knowing that he is at work in me. And just because I don't necessarily feel great tonight about my current situation, doesn't mean that he's abandoned me in it, that he's through with me in it. He's just testing character so that he can fulfill his plan and purpose and will in my life. That's what I want. I'm here tonight because I want his perfect will to be executed in my life. I want it to play out exactly as he has it detailed. I don't want him to miss one point. I don't want him to leave off one detail. I want everything that he has in store for me tonight. Can we stand and pray for just a moment? Hallelujah. Iro no si ra na ya sha ka ye. Iro ro ma.